We'd like for you to turn to the book of Esther with us tonight, and maybe we can preach a little bit longer than what we did this morning. I don't know if we can or not. But the 15th verse of the second chapter, we'd like to read the last part of it. And it said, "She required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her." Let us bow our heads. Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thankful tonight, Father, for the privilege to be here and the privilege of ministering, Lord, to these fine people. May, Father, you take the message that we will try, Lord, to endeavor to follow your will and the way of the Spirit in. And may you anoint it, Lord, with the Spirit of God. Send it forth to the hearts of men and women. May, Father, it touch the need that's here tonight. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we know Esther is the book also of captivity, that she, and the time of this book, that Israel was in captivity, at the time that Nebuchadnezzar packed away Israel into the captivity, and there was 70 years determined upon them. But we find that in this period of captivity, that this was the time when Mordecai was packed to the palace that was in Shushan. Now, Daniel and Ezekiel was packed over into Babylon. But this Mordecai, which was of a royal tribe, for we find it in the fifth verse, that he was a Benjamite, and that he was of the tribe of Kish, or the son of Kish, a Benjamite. And we know from this that he was of good background. But we find here that in captivity, that he had taken pity, as it would, upon his uncle's daughter. And he took her to be his own daughter. And the background says that there was a time when the king made a feast and Queen Vashti refused to go and to show herself before the common people. And because of the drunken stupor that the king was in, he listened to the counsel of the men and had her dethroned and put away. Now, sometimes afterward, they brought before him the request that he would send into all the land and that he would gather the fair virgins up of every province. And he reigned from India clear down into Ethiopia. And he was the great king of that time. But as they set out to find him a bride, they went and got all of the beautiful women from every province. And they brought them in and put them up under the as you would the chamberlains of the kings, and every one of them was given 12 months for purification. Then, as the ritual was, they would pass one by one before the king. And if they found no favor before the king, they would never see him again. They would go in, have their time before the king, then they would be taken out and never brought before the king again, except he called them by name. Now, in this time, we'd like to say, I believe that you can type this and put it in the place of the church. That Esther is a type of the church here. That she's brought from a place and she had not father nor mother. Therefore, she had what it was, an orphan. But the Bible says in Psalms that if mother and father forsake thee, the Lord will take you up. Amen. And we know that when it comes to salvation, mother and father can avail you nothing. You're there as an orphan before the Lord. He looks upon you and you only. The family background and family blood has nothing to do with it. You're an individual soul before the Lord. But Esther here, as she was taken in, let's look at her. She was a captive. She was a slave. She was an orphan. And it looked like her circumstances were just about as bad as she can get in the land of slavery. Then she was taken even from those surroundings and put in a strange surroundings, that she was going to be forced to be the wife of the king if she passed the test. Many of us would have bemoaned our circumstances long before then and have been very disquieted. But I'd like to say tonight the greatest thing that me and you can do and can learn to do is to do our best in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. Amen? We shouldn't pray, "Lord, make me king," or "Lord, make me queen." We shouldn't pray, "Lord, make me a janitor." We should find that whatever we're doing, we should do it heartily as unto the Lord. We should not be envious. We should not look at one another's position and say, I'd like to be like that one. I'd like to sing like so-and-so. I'd like to testify like so-and-so. I'd like to do this and that like them. We should not ought to do that, but whatever state that we're in, we should try to please the Lord with all of our heart. Amen. We know that Esther was put in the under the care of Hegai. The Esther in the Persian language meant star. Her name is Hadasha, which is Esther in Persian, but the Jewish name meant that she was myrtle or a flower. So her name betrayed what she was. She was beautiful. She was a woman, and she had grown into be a beautiful. Her countenance was fair. And all of these attributes are good. Beauty is good if it's possessed in a vessel of holiness. Beauty is vain if it's flaunted as a talent. Beauty can accomplish nothing. But this woman found how to profess her vessel in sanctification. She took what was given to her. And I'd like to say tonight, there's a lot of people trying to make God's heaven by working out themselves a pattern of good works. A lot of them are relying upon talent and different things to get there. But the secret of getting to heaven is not how much you can do in yourself, but how much you allow the Spirit of God to do for you. Now the Bible says here that she took whatever that Hegai, the chamberlain, suggested that she put it on. And I'd like to say Hegai is a type of the Holy Ghost, and that he, in his suggestions, knew more about the king than Esther did. He knew more about his likes and dislikes. He knew more about what would be attractive and what would be unappealing to him. But Esther found favor in the sight of Hegai, and he began to take her quickly into the chamber, began to put her quickly into her time of purification, and gave her 7 maidens and the best room. And as he found favor with her, he began to work with her that she would find favor in the sight of the king. And I'd like to say tonight, glory to God, I've got nothing against any of the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, I earnestly covet all of them. But the Bible tells us that the greatest gift is just the ability to yield yourself over unto the Lord. Amen. That's the greatest thing that me and you can ever learn to do, is to yield ourselves completely over to His Lordship and take whatever He says and do what He bids us to do. Mary, in the time when the servants came, and she went to Jesus and said that they are out of wine. And He said, my hour is yet not come. But she told the servants, whatsoever He tells you to do, do it. And Jesus told them to fill the water pots and bring them to Him, and at the touch of the Master, the water became wine. And I'd like to say to you tonight, the touch of God on your life is what will transform your life from a sinner to a saint. It's not just what we can purpose that we can do. We can sing ever so beautiful. We can testify ever so long. And we can do all that we think that we need to do to entice God to be merciful to us. But those enticements will wear out and never pass the gaze of the king. The king will never call your name as long as you're trying to justify yourself in his sight. But a man or woman that will rest and rely upon the Spirit of God and ask the Spirit of the Lord to dress them for heaven and ask them that he might be found pleasing in the sight. It's those people under the very, as it would, the very guise of the Spirit, under the dressing of the Spirit, under the leadership of the Spirit that will catch the king's eye. We're all out to please the king. Amen. We're going to marry the king. The Savior saved us. The prophet instructs us. But the king is the one to whom the bride belongs. Hallelujah. We can do ever so much. We can be Pentecostal clear through to the core. We can be holiness until we will lay off all ever so much. We'll just sacrifice and give and we'll not do this and we'll not do that until we live a life of no, 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 that there's nothing that we can do. Or we can come to the place that we'll lay over on the Master's bosom and listen to the wooing of the Spirit as He dresses us and prunes us and makes us fit for the house of God. It's those that learn to rest in the Spirit. It's them that learn to listen to His voice and the
it's them that listen to Him that come out with the sweet fragrance of the anointing of life. And it's them that don't listen that comes out with the savor of death. Do you know there's some people whose ministry is only death? The only thing that they'll tell you to do is you don't do this and you don't do that. You can't do this and you can't do that. And you live under the law until all that the letter does is kill you. But there's a ministering of the Spirit that takes the letter and makes you alive. Amen. If you're being led by the Spirit, a preacher don't have to get up and follow you around and smack your hands and tell you don't do this and don't do that. There's somebody greater than the preacher that'll go with you and tell you and convict you when you do wrong. It'll dress you up for heaven. And I'd like to recommend that you learn to follow the leading of the Spirit and that you find in Him the pleasure and that you let Him dress you, amen, for your appearance before the King. I'm looking for one day and for one hour of the day and for one moment out of that hour, we're all coming down to one final term. The Bible said, and we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. And at that moment, we don't please the King, and He doesn't call our name. We'll have no other time before Him. Glory to God. She submitted herself unto the chamberlain. And she put on nothing but what He gave her. She required nothing else. She asked nothing else of the chamberlain. She sought not her own talents. She did not ask for anything special. She said, whatever you give me, it'll be sufficient. And she put on what the chamberlain gave her. And I'd like to say today, the Bible, amen, says for you to put off the old man and his works and put off a new man, put on a new creation, created after the likeness of Christ, amen, created in a Spirit of glory. Amen. That there's a fresh anointing that comes from God. There's a fresh anointing every day. There's a fresh perfume of life that comes upon them that wait before the Lord. There's something great about being a Christian that we don't have to live with an old anointing. We can have fresh oil every day in our vessel. And we can have fresh joy out of the fountain every day. And we can have a song in our heart every day. If we'll learn to walk with the chamberlain, if we'll let Him dress us up, He'll supply our needs. The things that please the King will be given unto those subjects that listen to the chamberlain.
Some people are not interested in pleasing the king. They live only to please their pastor or to please the church board. Amen. Or to pass a certain sort of tradition. Amen. You listen to me now. It's all right to have tradition if it's scriptural. But a tradition that is not scriptural, you're just doing it to get the applause and the appreciation of somebody else. It's no good. But good tradition, amen, that's godly, amen, in dress and godly and holiness, that tradition is good. I'm for the tradition that women are to, amen, let their hair grow and they are to put and dress right and be in modest apparel. And I'm in the tradition, brother, that says that a woman oughtn't to wear slacks and oughtn't to things that pertain to a man. I'm for those traditions. I uphold them traditions. And brother and sister, I believe that anybody that's got the Spirit of the Lord will uphold those traditions. Amen. But oh, there's some traditions that get a man into the place where he dresses his outward man up to match the dressings of his surroundings. It's sort of like a chameleon, how a chameleon, when he's on something green, becomes green. And you put him on something brown, he'll become brown. You put him on something white, he'll become white. And when he's with one group, he hollers amen. And when he's with another group, he hollers amen. That chameleon type blending in with the circumstances and the surroundings. God would not have you, amen, to be wishy-washy like that. God would have you to be holy. But God would have your holiness to proceed from a heart that's pure and from a heart that's free of offense and from a heart that's pure of love. Amen. And a heart where the Spirit reigns as King. Where a heart where the Spirit, amen, can be heard and the King can be heard speaking from His throne. And when we'll listen to the King speak from the throne room of the heart, we'll never grieve the Spirit. We'll never vex Him. Neither will we come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. She required nothing but what he got. King's chamberlain, the keeper of the women appointed. He appointed it. He laid it out for her. Her dress, her jewelry, whatever it was that she wore in that day. I don't know the attire of that day. And it'd be hard for me to draw up. But what it did say, she didn't use anything to enchant her beauty. She spoke for herself. Amen. I've got a certain feeling about women. You listen to me. If I hurt your feelings, you just bear with me. I've got certain feelings about a woman that one day you see her and her eyes are green, the next day they're blue, next day they may be purple or red. I wonder if she's sick or something. I can't keep up with the colors. It's like a stoplight. Amen. And they start crying and black starts running out and you wonder just what kind of eyes they got. Amen. But I'd like to say if you really want to be beautiful, take what God gives you and anoint it with the Spirit of holiness and let the good grace of God come in your life. You'll be beautiful and people will see your beauty and they won't look at you just for what you are, but they'll look at you for what you are. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, you don't need to dress up the old man. You need to show off the new man. Amen. Put on what God gives you. Glory to God. Be reconciled to the fact that I am just what I am by the grace of God. And amen, not try to beautify a wreck, but glory to God, let God take the wreck, amen, and make something out of it. Hallelujah. She got just what was appointed of her, of the chamberlain. No doubt some of the other ladies that was there crying out said, my, she don't stand a chance. That's what the world says today. You know, I've heard women, you know, I live right next to a good Methodist woman. I guess as far as Methodists go. And if there's any Methodists here, you just hold on to your seats. Because I live by one of them. Amen. And let me tell you, she wore slacks and she cut her hair and she painted her face up. And I started talking to her one day. I said, hon, I said, why do you do that? Why do you do that? She said, now let me tell you, Benny, why I do it. She said, which looks the better? An old barn without paint or an old barn that's painted up? I guess you had a point if you want to be classified as an old barn. Amen. But heaven's sakes knows what goes into a barn. Amen. You know what's in a barn? About every unclean beast that you can stick out of the house goes in the barn. And that's just about what the barn's fit to hold is the unclean beast. It's just full of all kinds of foul things. You're not meant to be a barn. The Bible said ye are the house of Jesus Christ. Ye are the temples of God, a habitation of God through the Spirit. And I don't think that I'd want God to see me trying to make up and trying to paint up the temple when God put it in the beginning without it. And if God said His creation was good in the beginning without any help of all the Paris fashions and all the Hollywood dolls, if God looked in the beginning without it being made up and said it was good, He still thinks it's good today. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I said He still thinks it's good today. There's nothing that'll beat old-fashioned holy anointing. And that's the only way it comes is through yielding your life over to the king's chamberlain. He knew what would please the king. And when it was time for her to go before the king. And he said, and Esther obtained favor inside of all of them that looked upon her. Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. They could find no fault with Esther. Amen. Simple she may have been. Her garb may have been simple. She may have been not fixed up like the rest went before. But there was something about her conduct, something about her character, and something about her dress that made them know Esther was head and shoulders above all that went before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hold on. Hallelujah. The world's not looking. I said again, the world's not looking for the people that go uptown to church. They're tired of seeing people when you can't tell where they're going or where they've been or where they've come from. They're looking for people that they know where they've been, they know who they are, and they know what they are because they've got a character that's Christ-like. They conduct themselves as though Jesus Christ was with them, and they keep their mind stayed upon Him, and their talk betrays them that they are what they look like. Glory to God. You want a church to find favor in the sight of all people. Get rid of the world. Get the world out of the church and get God in the church, and everybody that sees the church will have favor in all of their sight. The world's looking for a church, amen, that's not puffed up but walks where they are to walk. That's not proud but knows who they are. Amen, that's not boisterous but has the power. Amen, that's true to the core and true to God and true to the fellow man. God's looking for a church, amen, where He can pour out His Spirit, bring them up in holiness, and present them to the world and say, this is my church and I'm in the midst of them. Glory to God. She required nothing but just what the chamberlain appointed her. But let me tell you something, what it says in the book of Revelation about the 19th chapter and the 8th verse. The Bible said, for it was granted unto her. She should be arrayed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Now, we haven't got no choice, beloved. You can put on a Baptist robe, and you can put on a Methodist robe, and you can put on a Pentecostal robe, and you can listen to somebody try to tell you how you ought to look and how you ought to act, but there's only one robe that'll pass the inspection of the king. Jesus taught this when He called the great wedding feast and come in and found one man there that had not on the robe. He said, how did you get here? And the man was speechless. But the ward of the very king said, bind this man hand and foot and cast him out. What guys will there be in that day? There'll be no pretense of salvation. No pretense of religious affiliation. There'll be no pretense of a man going there on good merit. We'll have on the true garment, and it'll be without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Or Jesus Christ will throw us into tribulation, and there we'll purge that own garment with our own blood, and we'll wash it clean by our own testimony. Amen. Glory to God. How close are we to this? At any moment, the king may step up on the balcony to sound the words, come up hither. At any moment, the Holy Ghost may move in your life to transport you from mortality into immortality. He may move while you're going down the road to transfer you from here to the kingdom of God. He may move upon you at any time to work this thing in your life. And I want to say, unless you're ready, unless you possess that garment in holiness, amen, unless you have the holiness of the Lord and are committed unto the Holy Ghost, unless you've got on what the chamberlain appointed, you'll never make it in that up calling. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't preaching like an evangelist, and I know it. I'm the pastor. Glory to God. And I'm going to preach to you like a pastor. We'll get an evangelist in after a while. He'll preach to you evangelistic message. I'm going to preach to you. Put both feet on the ground, brother, and possess yourself. Because God's looking for people that's got a hold of themselves. Amen. Or knowing where they're going and knowing what they're looking for. Glory to God. I believe you are to praise the Lord. I believe you are to sing to Him. I believe you are to look to Him. I believe you are to be filled with His faith. But I believe also you are to keep both feet squarely on the ground and walk before your brethren that they may see God in your life and give honor to God, because there's people that still love Him enough to keep out of sin. That they may see your good works. Hallelujah. The world's tired. The world's tired of seeing people in their own talents and in their own religions. They're looking for a people now whose good works declare they are of God. Hallelujah. Bob Harrington, when he told the story of him going to the uptown church to preach, he said the only live thing about it was the ivy growing on the wall. And that's just about the way the world sees us anymore. About the only live thing we've got is the grass growing around it or the ivy going up the wall. Amen. When you come inside, it's so dead and formal that you could hear a pin drop. Amen. Even on a carpeted floor. But I'd like to say the world's wanting to see some joy in our soul. They're wanting to see us with what the chamberlain has appointed us to wear. And the Bible said He's taken the spirit of heaviness and gave us the spirit of joy. Amen. He told us to come to the wells of salvation and with joy draw from them. He said the joy of the Lord is our strength. You might say, well, I don't feel no bubbling. I'm enjoying this anyway. I've got joy because my name's written in the Lamb's book of life, and that the eyes of the Almighty, Omnipotent, Omnipotent God are upon me. And I rejoice in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're looking for a people who know what direction, who knows what direction to take. Amen. Do you know there's people in the church houses today that if a sinner man came to them and asked them, how can I be saved? That they don't know what to tell them. They don't know the first thing, how to instruct them to be saved. They say, oh, you got to pray. But do you know there's some people that absolutely, honestly don't know how to pray? And you can tell them what happened to you, but God will never save them in your experience. The world's looking for somebody that can tell them how to find Jesus. They're looking for somebody that's been a while with the Master. They're looking for somebody they can turn to that from them they will get words of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! There is such a church today. Glory to God. And I believe with all of my heart that we're coming into our own. And brother and sister, if we'll begin to possess ourselves under the very guidance of the King's Chamberlain, and we'll let Him take off of us the things that the King don't like and put on us the thing that the King loves, we'll have no problem going before the King. Amen. I said, we'll have no problem going before the King. Esther, later after she'd become queen, and there came a time when Haman began to set a plot to destroy the Jews, and Mordecai came to her and said, go before the King. She said, I can't. But the time came when she said, I'll do it. If I perish, I perish. And I believe that she went back and got the instructions of the chamberlain again. With 3 days and 3 nights of fasting, she went before the chamberlain. She put up on her very queenly robe and she stood at the door of the king's palace. And there was the custom of that day that anybody that came in, that if the king didn't stretch out the golden scepter towards her, that she didn't touch her or pass it over her. That death was to the man that came into the king's presence. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. The Bible says, after the hand of the Lord has come upon us and the blood of Jesus Christ has washed us away, there is a new and living way been opened up unto us in the house of God, that we can come boldly before the King. But I still believe it takes a blood-washed life. I still think it takes a life without sin. I still believe it takes living holy to come in before the King boldly. Oh, Shalamamakai. Amen. I believe spiritual death has come to a lot of people simply because they were presumptuous enough to think they could intrude into the King's palace without being anointed right. It still takes the right anointing to come in boldly before God. And after she had come in with the determination, if I perish, I perish, the King reached out and her life was stayed. And he said, ask me anything. Esther, what do you want? Ask me anything. And that's what the Lord is saying to the true church today. Ask me anything. Whatever you want, I'll supply it. Did not Jesus say, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, that ye can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you? Is that not saying a thing? If we're living right and holy, we'll be abiding in Jesus Christ. And he said, ask what you will. It'll be done for you. Glory to God. Oh, the Lord would love for a people to begin to realize that if they'll separate themselves and come out of the ungodliness that's going on today, that God would favor them far above all people. Today you can find it, as our brother Denny here got one of the movies from IU, the library that the college children, or rather the college kids see. And the only one up there that I know that was on the Holy Ghost was Holy Ghost people. And you know where they went to get their knowledge of the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Holy Ghost? Back down in Saddleback, West Virginia. Back up in the creek where they handle snakes. That's right. And a bunch of free love. Women dancing around hugging men and handling snakes and kicking them from one side of the building to the other, throwing them back and forth and catching them and doing all those things and working themselves up and their friends. And they said to our children, this is Holy Ghost people. That's exactly what the devil would like to pass off as God's Holy Ghost people. But I got news for them. That's far from being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is, amen, having the love and the joy and the peace, the temperance and the tolerance, amen, the kindness and brotherly kindness that only God through the Spirit can put in your life. That's a Holy Ghost filled person. It's not them that speak in tongues and handle snakes and, amen, drink poison. That's got it. But it's them that possess themselves under the very guidance of the King's Chamberlain. Them that walk in the Spirit, amen, and live in the Spirit of those that are true Holy Ghost people. But yet the world would pass off this cheap invitation and say, this is God's people. It's no wonder people don't want to come to Pentecost. It's no wonder they call them fanatics. It's exactly what the devil's showing the world. Amen. Finding the worst of both sorts. It's taking the formal churches and making them like an iceberg and turning to the world and showing them those fanatics and passing them off as saying, this is the other side. It's no wonder the children of this generation said, the church, I don't want nothing to do with it. But oh, God's going to raise up the right ones. God's going to raise up a right anointing. He's going to bring up the right people. Those that will yield themselves unto the Chamberlain and say to the Chamberlain, give me what you will appoint me. I will trust it to pass me before the King. Glory to God. If a good old Holy Ghost anointing won't get you favor with Jesus, there's not a hope for us anywhere. If good old fashioned godly living won't get us into the presence of King, there's no hope in it anyway. Amen. If good old godly praying and godly seeking the Lord and good consecrated living won't get you into the presence of the King, there's no hope anyway. But I want to recommend to you, every man that I found in the Bible that found favor with God, amen, was anointed with the right spirit and honored God with all of his substance and walked before God very softly and reverenced God and loved not his life unto death. Amen. Glory to God. We are coming to the day that we will pass before the King. And I want to ask you a very solemn question. Are you ready to be presented to the King? Do you feel like you're ready to pass before Him? Think for a minute. It must be without spot, wrinkle, blemish, unrebukable, blameless, in the sight of Jesus Christ. Are we ready to pass before the King? Are we ready to let the King look at us? The Bible says He loved Esther. He loved her. It was love at first sight. You can go back into the book of Genesis and find that when Isaac was walking in the evening time after the servant had went, amen, into a far land and found him a bride of his choosing, God had answered his prayer. He had decked her out with fine linen. He had decked her out in jewelry. She was ready to be presented to Isaac as his bride. In the evening time, he was walking in the field and meditating. She said, "Who is that that's walking in the field?" The servant said, "That's Isaac, my master's son." She lit off with a camel. She ran to meet him in the field. And the Bible said they loved one another. And he took her to her mother's tent and married her. Oh, let me tell you something. It's walking with the servant. It's a walking with the Spirit while we're here. It's a walking in the Spirit while we're here. It's letting the Spirit work in us while we're here. That'll pass us before the King when He comes. Hallelujah. Brother Butler sings, "The King is coming." He surely is. But He's not coming. No, not to this world until He's first come for His bride. He's going to and fro today out of every nation. He's a-picking people. They're being handpicked by the Spirit of God. And I'd like to tell you tonight, you couldn't have got this far except the Spirit had drawn you. You couldn't have got to first base. One man says it's not him that draws back and hits the home run. No, you've got to touch every base as you go by, or you're out. Miss one base, and you can destroy the home run. Let's make sure we're at all the bases. Amen. Old-fashioned salvation, old-fashioned sanctification, old-fashioned being filled with the Holy Ghost, that when we get to home, the King can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Oh, that's what it's all about, Brother Patton. It's getting the final "well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's not how fast we've got there. It's not how much we tried to get there. But it's if we get there and hear, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's the King reaching out His hand and saying, "Well done." When the King called Esther by name, she could go back into His presence. And if He calls my name, He sang that old song, you know, "I'll be standing somewhere listening. I'll be standing somewhere listening. I'll be standing somewhere listening for my name. For my name." There's a day coming when I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Ghost is going to come by, whether I'm in my bed asleep, or whether I'm going down the road, or whether I'm sitting at the breakfast table or supper table. I believe there's a time coming when the time when the trumpet sounds that the Holy Ghost will say, "Come on, Benny. If He calls my name then, I'm a-going before the King." Woo! I said, "If He calls my name then, I'm a-going before the King." Glory to God. But if He don't call my name, I'll be a-sitting there after He's come and gone. Oh, let us be listening with anointed ears, purified, ready, and glorified, that we may be called before the King. There's a calling away coming. Apostle Paul called it the high calling that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. That calling. Many are called, few are chosen. Amen. Two will be in bed. One shall be taken, the other one left. Two will be walking down the street, one shall be taken, the other one left. Two will be grinding at the meal, one shall be taken, the other one left. Where will you be Will he call your name? Your chances are very slim if you are not under the care of the chamberlain. If you refuse his care and refuse his advice, chances are the king will never call your name. But if you'll take his advice, put on the garments that he gives you, dress yourself up as he gives it to you, oh, you'll have no trouble, amen, passing the test to go before the king. Amen. Let me ask you right now, is there one here that you're not right with God? That you're lost and you know you're lost? And if the Lord would come right now, you wouldn't be able to go before the king. Young and old alike, if the trumpet would sound right now, would you be able to go before the king? You know if you're living good enough or not. I want to ask you, won't you do something about it? Won't you do something about it? The Lord is here to seek and to save that which is lost. But you must commit your life into His keeping. Sister Kay. Sister Juanina. Will you stand with me, please? Eddie, are you showing partiality by asking all those young men to come up and pray? You know, after you get a little old and you get out of school for a while, you soon forget the pressures that's put on you. And sometimes you got to have compassion to really pray and touch the need of these young people. Ricky's a real talented young man. There's been a lot of these people come around that's in Pentecost and said, Rick, you can do it. You can do it. There's no wrong in it. But you know, sometimes people speak, but they don't have much wisdom. But he's at the point now where he'll have to make the decision himself. Mom and dad, preacher, teacher, nobody can make it for him. It's between him and Jesus now. Whatever he does, it'll be weighed just between him and the Lord. I'm not going to throw rocks at him. No. No. I don't want to cast no rocks. I want to be an influence for his soul. But if you real right now, our precious sister Pam, she's trying to make a decision for the Lord too. She told me the other day, she said, Benny, she said, I've been a praying. She said, I want the will of God for my life. She said, I want to do what the Lord has had me to do. And bless her heart, she said, I feel like being a missionary. You know, the Lord still calls missionaries. And she said, I'd like to go to nursing school and be a nurse and then use my life for the Lord. Well, there's a lot of you. There's a lot of you that never thought about being one. But I think that if you got a heart of compassion, it'd be real good for you to slip up here, put your arm around Pam, or get as close as you can and say, Lord, bless her heart. It's a fountain, a sweet fountain, that springs forth from the heart of a young lady that said, I want to give my life to Jesus. Amen. These things are important in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And if you're here tonight, your life's without meaning and it's without direction and you've never gave anything that you've got to the Lord, the Lord would appreciate you if you'd just say, Lord, here I am. Show me the will that you've got for my life. He'd like to use you too in the kingdom. He'd like to use you.